Good morning. This morning, we are so grateful for our Jubilee ringers leading us in that beautiful rendition of Give Thanks, and we certainly do give thanks for the opportunity that we've been given to gather here together this morning to worship. I am so glad that you have joined us here for worship, and if you are a guest with us here today, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. If you will look in the pew rack in front of you, you will find a connection card. We would appreciate it so much if you are a first-time or a returning visitor but have never filled out a connection card, to fill that out with your information, place it in the offering plate when it comes by just so that we can have a record of your attendance and make contact with you later this week and let you know how grateful we are that you visited with us this morning. A lot going on in the life of our church. Make sure you look at that announcement sheet in your bulletin, and let me just point out a few of those things to you. Tonight, right here in this room at 6:45, is our quarterly church conference. The big thing that we'll be doing is looking ahead to 2024 as we approve our 2024 church budget. And so if you have any questions about that ahead of time, you are more than welcome to come to the budget listening session today right after worship at 12:15, right outside the sanctuary on the second floor. Ask any questions you have or look at that any further. Also, please take note that tomorrow is our monthly mission right next door, the Must Neighborhood Pantry on Mimosa. There's still opportunities to serve there. If you would like to volunteer, check it out on the website or call our church office to sign up. And then finally, next Sunday is the last Sunday to recognize someone special this holiday season with a donation of a poinsettia. So if you'd like to do that, please know the deadline is 1 week from today. And again, while many wonderful things are going on in the life of our church, nothing is more important than when we gather here together to worship God collectively, to unite with one voice and one heart and one mind, to announce that Jesus is Lord and worship together. We give thanks as we celebrate and also focus for the next 4 weeks on gratitude. And so I encourage you now to turn your hearts and your minds towards being thankful for all that God has given us. Come, let us worship together.
Amen. Come on, Judah. Come on, buddy. You want to sit right here? Do you want to come sit right here and face me? You good? Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad to see all of you here this morning. Sit down, please, okay? So today is All Saints Day. Today we are celebrating and remembering the important people in our lives and in the lives of our church who have died, but they have left us with wonderful memories, and they also have shared their faith with us. And so for today, in my own family, I remember people like my granddad, who didn't go to church a lot as I was growing up because he had a hard time hearing, but he still worshiped Jesus and did all that he could to share God's love with people. I remember people like my cousin's grandmother, Grandma Simpson, who everybody she saw, she said, "Have I told you about my Jesus?" And so I know that she shared her faith with lots of people. And we remember people like Jonathan's grandmother, Beth Yates, who was so involved in her church, and it was so important to her. And we also remember people in our church who have died, but who shared their faith with us. We remember people like Mike Deal, who taught a lot of you guys and a lot of people out here about God's great love and about how we can help others. And so today, we remember the people who have gone before us, because these people shared their faith with people out here who then share their faith with you guys. And so for thousands and thousands of years, people have been telling other people about Jesus. Now, Paul, who was writing, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, he's not still alive, right? That would be a little crazy. He's not still alive. But he shared about Jesus with others, who then shared it with others, who kept sharing it with others, who shared it with others, so that now we know about Jesus too. And so today we remember the people who have gone before us, who aren't with us anymore, but who we remember and who we carry in our hearts. And so if you have lost someone in your life, a grandparent or a great-grandparent, you can remember them today too. And in just a few minutes, we are going to light some candles to remember all the people in our church who have died this year. All right, guys, let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for the people who have shared their faith with us. We are so grateful for them, even if they are no longer with us, Lord. We know that they are with you, and we are so grateful for their love for you that then they shared with us. God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to share with you just a moment this morning about a special emphasis that we have during our Sunday school hour in the month of November. All year long, we have been calling this a year of intentional discipleship, and that has manifested itself in a lot of different ways with sermon series and different focuses and signage throughout the building, and it kind of culminates now in this three-week study that we are doing that we started just this morning and will continue for the next 2 weeks, where everyone in our church is studying the same thing. And that is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and specifically our focuses of what it means to think, to become, and to act more like Jesus. And so we'll have a few minutes each week in worship as well during this month for us to orient our minds and to think more about that. This morning we talked about, and throughout the church, all of us together studied what it means to think like Jesus, what it means to have a kingdom mindset. Jesus spent a lot of time talking and preaching and teaching, and almost everything he did was focused on this idea of the kingdom of God. And so if we're going to be people who are learning to be more like Jesus, if we're going to be people who are growing in Christ-likeness in all that we do, then we're going to need to learn to think like Jesus thought. And that is with a kingdom-focused mindset. And this study is not just going to be a study where we think about it and study these things right now and then forget about it, but instead, this is laying the foundation for a framework that all of our discipleship efforts in the coming months and years will fall into. in everything that we do when it comes to growing to be more like Jesus, we are going to be talking about what it means to think and to become and to act more like Jesus. And so if you were not able to make it to Sunday school this morning, I encourage you to find your class or find any new class that you want to be a part of this study as we think and we learn what it means to become more like Jesus in that way. And as we do that, it is our hope that all of us grow together in Christ-likeness to be the people and the church that God is calling us to be.
Today, as we continue in worship, we bring our discipleship into this place at this time. We open up Holy Scripture and we find in here the Old Testament reading today printed in your bulletin, Isaiah, these words of prophecy from the 25th chapter, verses 6 and 9. Join with me if you would follow along. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will be swallowed up, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us." This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In our worship today, we celebrate All Saints' Day. On this day, we remember those in our church, the saints of our congregation, who have gone before in this past year, from last All Saints' Day until today, on to their heavenly home with God. We invite you to join us as we remember and give thanks for these friends and loved ones.
Sadie Hoag.
Jill Reagan.
Shirley Bates.
Rhonda Nardiello.
Al Jones.
Thomas Coleman.
Sarah Walker.
Lloyd Smith.
Alice Judy.
Pug Mabry.
Nobby Pruitt.
Catherine Pace.
Mary Milligan.
Troy Smith.
Mike Deal.
Mabel Scott.
Shanna Darnell.
Fred Bollinger.
Maurice Hilliard.
As we pause and remember, we give thanks to you, O God, for the saints who have gone before us.
Will you join me as we pray together? Our Father, we are grateful to you today for a place of worship where we can wipe our tears in the presence of others. We're grateful for a congregation that can remind us of the hope that we have in you. We're grateful today, O God, for these lives of trusting people in you who lived out their life in faith. And though they not with us today, they still abide with us. So we give you thanks today, O God, for a God of compassion, a God of all comfort, and a God of grace. And we remember and we say, thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
First Baptist Roswell has served this community, and since that first day, many, many saints have gone on to be with their Lord. Saints don't have to be someone who's been on the earth a long time. They may have been children in our lives that went to be with their Heavenly Father. Nonetheless, they are those saints also. May we remember all of them as we give our gifts at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the saints that came before us, for those who taught us how to love you, for those who thought like Jesus, for those who became like Jesus, and for those who act like Jesus and now are at home with Jesus. May we use our gifts to further your kingdom throughout this community, throughout the state, and throughout the world, so that everyone may know the grace of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Each Sunday I come here, I'm reminded or embraced with the gratitude of the congregation, meaning there's something here to be grateful about every single Sunday. And I want to thank the music ministry for again bringing us into this time and this place of being the church family together. Speaking of gratitude, you may be noticing in the worship bulletin that as we culminate this focus on discipleship, that's been it's not just a year-long journey, it's a lifelong journey to be sure, but as a church, focusing on that, for me, gratitude is one of those traits of a disciple. We don't always see it theologically listed or framed that way, but I believe it to be as such, and therefore, for the next four Sundays, in parallel with what's happening with our discipleship ministry, I want us to look in a worship standpoint, gratitude. What does the Old Testament and New Testament have to say about gratitude? I see lovely Christmas sweaters sitting on the front pew here. Our minds are already kind of drifted towards the holiday season. And what better way to prepare for Christmas than not just the day of Thanksgiving, but the life of thanksgiving? And so each Sunday we're going to look at a theme, a component of gratitude. Take your Bibles with me if you have them, and we're going to begin our reading from the book of Revelation, a book I confess that many of us would either rather not visit or selectively look at these passages. I think you'll find today's reading quite a familiar one, especially in the context of funerals, memorials, and gravesites. That's quite a way to start a sermon, isn't it? But anyway, hear with me the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Friends, these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. As we have opened the doors of the church and opened Scripture, our prayer now is that you continue to open within us, Lord, that we may be ready to receive your Holy Spirit's movement. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our very lives, for we are ready for your word to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I think that most of y'all know that I have a day job, as they say, something that occupies my time most days of the week at Mercer University. Just to clarify, because I still get comments occasionally, Mercer has two campuses. The original one, or at least the one that's been around the longest, shall we say, is on the Macon campus. It functions largely for the undergraduates and the School of Law and the School of Medicine. School of Engineering is also located on the Macon campus. It represents a little more than half of the students that attend Mercer University. But there's also an Atlanta campus. It's been around there since the 1970s, so it's not new by any stretch of the imagination. Largely, it's health sciences. So you have the physical therapy program that's there, the PA program, the School of Pharmacy. But the most important school on the Atlanta campus, and actually the most important school for Mercer University, is, you guessed it, the School of Theology, right? And y'all need to agree with me, because as a church, out of your mission giving, you support the School of Theology. So I also need to say thank you for that generosity. Jessica's an alum of the School of Theology. Now, that's my setup. That's my day job. That's what keeps me busy for most weeks. For the past year, I've been working on a course development that I'll be teaching in the springtime, or actually starting in January, and the course is simply titled Death and Dying. Now, for me, it's a point of conviction, because as a minister through the decades, that's the one thing we all deal with all of the time. As a church, you have wonderfully embraced what death and dying is all about, because these are not just candles that we have lit. These were human beings who interacted in our lives, who taught Sunday school, who attended worship, who contributed in the furtherance of what this church is all about. Death and dying is something not only that we will all experience once in our lifetime, but we also experience it in the lives of others. It's something we cannot afford to not know a little something about, and our ministers need to be formed and prepared on the subject of death and dying. But it can be challenging to promote an elective class on death and dying. So I have launched a series of 24 TikTok videos. I'm not joking. I wish I was. And my sidekick is a human skull named Francis. And Francis and I talk about an important component of death and dying, and we release the TikTok video to the awaiting public. I have developed a lot of followers. They're all weird. But nevertheless, I'll take it where I can get it. But death itself is not entertaining or abstract. All of us must contend with the wake of what death leaves behind, all of us. Sadness, grief, anger, even despair. I know that you know what I'm talking about. For some, death is the subject of great existential anxiety, the fear of nothingness. And in this course, one of the authors I'm going to spend some time talking about, Ernest Becker, published a book in 1971 called The Denial of Death. The author's premise is our entire culture is bent on denying death, and so it comes out in all kinds of anxieties and neuroses. But death, like my daddy once said, like taxes, is unavoidable. With death, you see, we grieve because something is lost. A lost relationship, lost opportunities, a lost future. And when you lose, there is the temptation to drift into ingratitude, thanklessness, because it may feel as though something, someone, was taken from us. Sometimes we may even be tempted to use the phrase, well, God took so-and-so, which is a phrase I don't like at all, because God is not a taker, God is a giver. Today, we call this day All Saints Sunday, where we remember, and I've heard this phrase used more than once, and I don't think it was a nod to the sermon series, we remember with gratitude those who've gone before us. As I said, I'm going to be committing 4 Sundays, you'll be glad to know, not on death and dying, but on gratitude. And I think that this Sunday's the perfect Sunday to kind of kick that off. Was there somebody on this list of names that you knew and remembered, and you were able to maybe give thanks for this person? How about those names that aren't on the list, that didn't make the cut because they weren't members of this church or had passed on years before, but nevertheless, this day compels you to remember them also, as Jessica warmly illustrated with her grandfather, and the made me think about my granddad and my grandmother and people that have gone before us. Who is it in your life that is no longer here in the body, but you still remember them and you give thanks for their life? Because here's the thing, if you are grateful, I mean genuinely grateful, they are not really lost at all. Oh, I know we lose relationships, we lose a future, we lose so much when someone passes on, but they are not lost at all, for they are still very much influencing you, affecting you through both memory and reminding you. this past Wednesday, during the day, as if I don't have enough commitments, I'm teaching a Bible study at Johns Creek Baptist Church. But it's actually my initiative because I wanted to work with a church group on this death and dying class, to meet with church members for 4 weeks and talk about death and dying in a way that we can also inform seminarians. So they are kind of like my little test group. I decided not to test y'all out. You get enough of me. And what this past Wednesday, I opened with, and it's senior adults. There's at least 65 and older. And I opened up by saying, I'd like for you to share with me your first experience with death. So why don't y'all think about that? It's the first time you remembered someone in your life passing away and what that felt like. So I'm dealing with folks, as I said, at least 65 and older, some well into their 80s. And I heard story after story of people remembering. I remember when my grandfather literally took his last breath in my arms. I was just a kid. One woman in her, at least in her 80s, talked about when she was home for Christmas break from college and her mother dying on the 22nd, and on the 24th they buried her. And how a week later she goes back to memory and memory and memory and hearts filled with gratitude, but also some tears. See, that's just it. When someone you know and you love, they're still very much part of you. Any therapist will tell you that it has a great hold in our life. And the grief is real, the sadness is profound, and sometimes there's anger involved, but ultimately, it was a room full of gratitude. At gravesides, I like to read from Revelation. I've already mentioned, and I love chapter 21 because it's a reminder not what was lost, but that death is not the final word. And at the end of all we know in life doesn't end at that graveside. I turn to these words to find comfort and to find hope at the cemetery, surrounded by the hard granite monuments of the dead and pressed in by family and friends of the recently deceased. To me, sharing these words of a new heaven and earth, the home of God, the tabernacle of God is with all people, that God will be with them, that death is no more than mourning and crying will be no more, that the first things will be made new, and all things Alpha and Omega. I read these words because I need some good poetry to confront the prose in our lives. It flattened everything out. I read them because what better place than an open grave where you are feeling as though you are burying your love, and to hear the promise that there's still more to the story, that when we walk away as others fill the gaping hole and the scent of red clay is still in the air, that we have not heard or seen the last of it, that there will come a time when death will be no more. Yes, we remember with gratitude the saints that have gone before us. We also remember, though, that we too are called to live as saints, because we can distance ourselves from the deceased by calling them saints, even if we think they didn't always act like saints. But Scripture reminds us that, oh, no, you're a saint as well. When the baptismal waters were stirred with your confession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, guess what? Your certificate may not have said it, but you too are a saint of God. And so we are called to march into the future as grateful saints now. Sainthood begins with all of our beginnings. The book of Revelation, a book that I confess many of us would just rather avoid because it's mesmerizingly mystical. The term saint applies to all of those who claim Christ as lordship over their empires. That's why, dear saints, we best be cautious around those images that seek to subordinate or adulterate our faith by making it something else, because the throne of God will not be shared with any other principality. A saint in both the Hebrew and the Greek simply means to be set apart. And so we're called to march forward grateful saints of God. This passage here is an envisioning not the world that is, but the world that will be. And that's our challenge in terms of studying discipleship and living a life of gratitude. Our challenge is not to go around fussing about how the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but rather that we move from here doing something about it. Gratitude has a way of compelling us to action. That's why we do things like paint or compose or go hiking or take on projects. That's why we gather together to worship, because we believe that there's actually more to the story and we're part of that story. It's also about knowing that God too is marching in into our lives today and not just waiting around for our tomorrows. The home of God is among mortals. God is making God's dwelling among the broken and the flawed and even the unsaintly lives. This verse literally reads, "The tabernacle of God is among us." You remember your Old Testament, right? How the tabernacle of God would follow the children of Israel through the wilderness, reminding them that by day and by night, I am with you. This same word is here in Revelation. The tabernacle of God is moving with you in your life. How can we not be one of grateful people? Not because all is right in this world, but because God has called us into this world to make things that are wrong right again. We don't just look and pray for this future as if our job is to just wait and bide time. That's despairing. That's hopelessness. That's ingratitude if I've ever heard it. No, we march into it. Saints of God revisioning the holy ways in which what could be, what God wants, what Jesus came and died for and lives today in our lives. A saint imagines a better world and then marches into it gratefully. This is why we vote. This is why we invest in our families. This is why we take time to remember the names of those who've gone before us. And let me add that no matter who is in office, no matter what job you have or what job you desire, no matter your income or lack thereof, whatever else is going on in the world, it will not matter much if we are not living today as a grateful saint, imagining a better world and marching into it. If all we can do is imagine this world is what is broken down and wrong and miserable, and goodness knows, we got plenty of examples. I read the newspaper every day, and I probably shouldn't read it on Sunday because I'm tempted to just redraft the whole sermon because things just look bad. But if that's all we're focusing on, we will never find ourselves walking and living and marching as saints of God with gratitude to be and with gratitude. How we see God in our future affects how we behave in our present. So I say, why not start with gratitude? It reorients everything. Living cynically and hopelessly is the same thing as living without gratitude. Ingratitude, it suggests that when the final lights are out, God will not show up. Yet Revelation tells us death will be no more. God always gets the last word after all. And God wants to dwell with you, my friends, and with me. And not just in the sky by and by, but to make a home in the here and now, to put up a tent and join us along our life's journey way, that there's a new heaven and a new earth in the making of the saints, and we have a part in living into the present and future and marching into it. When we believe that God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, everything else in between it, the world cannot corrupt you. Earthly principalities cannot disrupt you. Evil has no permanence. The very worst thing is not the last thing. The mourning and crying will be no more. There will come a time when all things will be made new. Saints of God, let us march into the future, waiting for each of us with grateful hearts.
Thank you.
remain standing, saints of God, how will you respond in worship? I mean, it's good to feel the moment and the spirit and go out on this kind of energy. That is precisely what the world needs from us, not heavier proclamation, but grateful living, that God has given us a world to march into with love, compassion, grace, gratitude. And I feel that and experience that. So how will you respond this morning as we sing our hymn of commitment and prepare to go marching out into that waiting world? Maybe you've been a guest of this church and you've been waiting for the right time. Brothers and sisters, I can't think of a better time than right now. Maybe you have something's been stirred in your life and you recognize that I've never professed my faith publicly. This is not about making something a performance, but rather inviting people around you to celebrate with you. However God is working, as we're standing together, let us sing together. Hymn of Response 514. Singing in this space, I'm sure you're getting ready for choir rehearsal even as we speak. But may the music that has so infused our worship this morning, thank you, choir, thank you, David, thank you, musicians, all. May the music that has infused our spirits this morning go forth as we move out into this waiting world. When someone asks you what you're smiling about today, you be sure to tell them with a grateful heart how God has poured so much into you and into this church. How can we not help but give thanks? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. And so as we go, now we go with a heart full of gratitude, saints of God marching into this world. Amen. Amen.